Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I am Rebecca Belazon, and today we are studying Sefer Shoftim, Perek Chet. At the end of the last Perek, Gideon calls Shevet Ephraim to help chase Midian. Now, originally in Perek Vav, Gideon called people from Zevulon, from Asher, and from Naphtali to help, but not from Shevet Ephraim. This Perek starts with Shevet Ephraim turning to Gideon and saying, Pasuk Aleph, what is this that you did to us not to call us when you went to fight Midian? And they argued with him very strongly. They felt it was a disgrace. Why do you call us now after the battle was won? And Gideon responds to them, what did I do in comparison with what you did? I may have started the battle, but you are ending it. In your hands, Hashem gave over the officers of Midian, Ze'ev and Orev. So what was I able to do in comparison? And then after that conversation, Ephraim calmed down after Gideon said this. And it's really amazing to stop and to think that sometimes just a small change in perspective can change everything. The facts in the situation did not change one bit, but rather Gideon reframed the way they thought about this. He gave them a new perspective, changed the way they looked at it, and they were able to calm down. Pasuk Dalet continues, Gideon crossed the Yarden with his 300 men, and they are tired, yet they are continuing to pursue the enemy. And according to Rashi, it seems that even though Gideon made a blockade, two of the leaders, Zevach and Tamuna, they escaped, and they crossed the Yarden, and they were terrorizing the Jews that lived there. So Pasuk Hey, they come to a place called Sukkot, a Jewish city, and they are hungry, and they are tired. So they ask the people for bread to feed them. As they're in the middle of running and pursuing Zevach and Talmuna. And the Malbim says that there were two reasons for the people of Sukkot to take care of these men. And Gideon states both of them, either simply because they are hungry, it's a tzedakah, it's a chesed, please just take care of us, or because they were fighting to defend them as their army. So either do it as a chesed, or do it because we're here taking care of you. But the officers of the city are not interested, and they respond, well, do you have Zevach and Talmuna in your hands that we should give you bread? Meaning, no, we're not going to take care of you. You haven't done anything yet. So let's talk if you actually do something. And then Gideon responds, therefore, when Hashem delivers Zevach and Talmuna into my hands, I will thresh your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness. Now, according to the Radak, Sukkot was a place of thorns, and therefore Gideon says to them, I'm going to use these thorns to kill you. And from there, Gideon goes up to Penuel, and he says the same thing to the people there, to the people of Penuel, and they answer in the same way the people of Sukkot answered, meaning we're seeing a recurring pattern. I'm not interested in taking care of you. I'm worried about myself, and there's this lack of chesed. Now, this lack of chesed, this concept of anochios, of being self-centered and all about me, was something that was very prevalent at the time. If you remember, we start the Sefer with Bnei Yisrael not giving a proper hesped to Yehoshua, their leader. And it was brought down in the Medrash that what were they so busy doing? They were busy inheriting their nachla. They were planting their vineyards. They were taking care of their fields. They were so involved in their own lives and their own self, they couldn't take the time to pay their proper respects to their leader who had done so much to them, for them. And Megillas Rus, which we know also takes place during this time, as the Megillah starts, Vayhi bimei Shvot HaShoftim, it was in the time of the judges, also revolves around this lack of chesed and this anochius. It tells the story of a wealthy man of Elimelech who leaves Eretz Yisrael because he is wealthy and there is a famine there, and he doesn't want to be bothered to take care of his brethren, the people of his city, his family and his extended family during the time of the famine. There we continue with Pasuk Tet. Gideon responds to the people of Penuel, when I return in peace, I will knock down this tower. Now, according to the Malbim, the people of Penuel were not afraid of the enemies because they had this fortified city. They had this fortified tower to protect them. And therefore, Gideon says, when I come back, I am going to destroy this tower, this fortification that you have. And the parak continues that Zevach and Talmuna were in Karkor, and their camps were with them. And there was about 15,000 men. And that was all that was left. If you remember, they had 120,000 people who had already died. And Gideon went up by way of the tent dwellers, meaning in a roundabout way, so they should not be detected, and therefore they'd be able to attack by surprise, and he attacks them. And Zevach and Talmuna run away, but Gideon runs after them, and he captures them. And the entire camp is terrified, as you can imagine that they would be. 120,000 of their friends had already died, and they think, oh, Thank goodness we escaped. We're safe. But now it seems that Gideon has caught up to them and he has captured them as well. And Gideon returns from the battle while the sun was still high, which according to the Radak means the morning, as Gideon and his men battled all night, and now they returned in the morning. Pasuk Yedalid, and he caught a young man from Sukkot, and they ask of him, and he writes down for him the officials of Sukkot and its elders, which are 72 men. And Gideon comes to the men of Sukkot, and he says, "Here are Zebach and Salmuna, about whom you taunted me, saying, 'Do you have Zebach and Salmuna in your hands that we should give you bread, that we should take care of you?' And he took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness, and with them he broke the men of Sukkot." And it's unclear who exactly is acting in this pasuk. Perhaps he's punishing the elders, and through that the people will know what they did. Or maybe he's actually having the elders punish the people. Pasuk Yedayin, Gideon smashed the tower in Penuel, and he kills the people there. And according to the Radak, he killed them, perhaps because they battled against him when he came to break down the tower. And now Gideon turns to Zebach and Salmuna, and he says, "Where are the people that you killed in Tavor?" And the Malbim explains that when Zebach and Salmuna were running away to Eber HaYarden, they passed through Tavor, where they killed Gideon's brothers. And they said, "Kamocha kamohem, as you are, so were they," meaning the people that we killed looked like you, and they were like princes. And Gideon says to them, "They were my brothers, the son of my mother." And he swears, "If you would have left them alive, I would not be killing you today." And Gideon turns to Yasser, his son, and he tells him to go on and kill these two men. But he didn't. He was afraid. And the pasuk tells us he was a young boy. He was a nar. He just couldn't bring himself to do it. And so Zebach and Salmuna, they turn to Gideon and they say, "You should kill us because you are a man of strength." And they basically requested that Gideon should kill them because he is strong and he can kill them with one blow, as opposed to this young boy who possibly doesn't have the strength and might have to hit them a couple of times to kill them. And so Gideon kills them and he takes the crescents that were on the neck of their camels. And the men of Bnei Israel, they ask Gideon to rule over them. And they say, "Both you and your sons should rule over us because look what you did for us. You saved us from the hands of Midian." And Gideon answers them, "I will not rule over you, and my sons will not rule over you. Hashem will rule over you." He's telling them, focus on Hashem. He is really the one here who saved you in this story. And Gideon says to them, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, "I have one request. Please give me, each one of you, one nose ring." And they say, "Of course." And they spread a garment, and every man threw in a nose ring from his spoils. And Gideon takes the gold, and he makes an ephod, and he sets it up in Ophrah. Now, Gideon made this ephod to remind them of the great salvation, the great miracle. But unfortunately, they ended up making the ephod into an avodah zarah. Pasuk Chachet continues, "And Midian was subdued, and the land rested for 40 years. And Gideon had 70 sons, and his Pelegesh, his concubine, gave birth to a son named Avimelech. And Gideon died in a ripe old age, and it was when Gideon died that the cycle began again, and Bnei Israel began to make for themselves Baal Bris as a god. And they forgot that Hashem saved them from their enemies, and again, they did not do chesed with the family of Gideon, according to all the good that he did from them." Again, we see the cycle of the Shoftim, that once the shofet dies, once the savior dies, they began to stray again and go back to their avodah zarah. And not only that, they don't remember the good that he did for them, and they do not act with his family in accordance. And again, we see this lack of chesed that plagued this generation. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.